of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
It's time for Legally Served with attorney Franz Borghardt.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I'll allow it.
An open discussion about how the law applies to the headlines.
You not only insult me, but you insult the integrity of this court.
The defendant is not guilty.
The defense is wrong.
But somebody in this courtroom is.
I'm being charged with a crime.
Trial by court martial.
Is that what this is? I'm being charged with a crime?
Legally Served with Franz Borghardt.
Don't tell me what I know and don't know. I know the law.
Yeah, it's time for Legally Served, our first Legally Served of 2023. Welcoming in attorney Franz Borghardt.
Good morning, folks.
Happy New Year.
Well, you know, I appreciate the sentiment. Happy New Year, but it's like already January, like what?
Fourth. What are you, like Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm? It's not like we're like around the 23rd or something. Like we're not 3 weeks in. We're still within that first week window.
I got a hot topic for you.
Oh,
I know we're going to talk
about the rails here already.
No. I know we're going to be talking about the crash in West Baton Rouge, right?
A little bit. Yeah.
I've been thinking about this a lot. Should the underlying suspects, not the officer, should they be charged with something in relation to the deaths of the girls?
Are you reading my notes? Because that's one of the questions I have for you this morning.
I've been thinking a lot about it.
You know what? Let's start there. Dennis Perkins, that's
100 years.
Yeah.
That's a deal.
We'll get to him later on. But let's start with this crash over in West Baton Rouge. I mean, you are outside of the guidelines
right.
for a high-speed pursuit or any pursuit. You are
80 plus miles per hour. Not using brakes.
Running a red light that had been red for 20 seconds, according to reports.
Now, let's be honest, though. We see officers do that. We see law enforcement officers do that all the time. It's not safe. It's terribly unsafe. But we see that happen all the time, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, is it just me, Alondra, Brian? Have you ever seen a law enforcement officer with the berries and cherries, the reds and blues on, the lights, running through a red light?
Yes.
They do it.
Yes, they do. Seen it many, many times. Not at 86 miles per hour without so much as touching the brakes.
I don't want to see how he didn't touch the brakes. And that's the problem, right? He wanted to catch those people. He wanted to catch that other car.
So
unnecessary.
The question you're asking, we'll get to second. The first question I want to ask is, how do you see District Attorney Tony Clayton proceeding here? Because he has been all, what's the term Condon uses? Eating vinegar with a fork?
So let's go down the what could this be and what is it not. We agree that it's not second-degree murder. It's not manslaughter, right? I mean, there's no intent to kill these girls, right? Okay. It would fit negligent homicide.
Right.
0 to 5 year felony in Louisiana. Basically a homicide that happens based on criminal negligence. That's an oversimplification. This would fit that category. It's a felony, right?
Yes.
It's a reckless operation. Yeah, it's a careless op. Now, this is assuming, and listen, I don't represent the cop. I have no facts to support this, but this is assuming that any kind of blood draw or test done on the officer after the accident shows what? The absence of what?
Toxicology reports.
Right. And I don't even know.
Alcohol or anything.
Yeah, I don't even know if they did a blood draw or did all that, but that is. Now, if there's alcohol or drugs in the system, it would amp up to vehicular homicide.
Really?
But if it was just grossly negligent, it's just negligent homicide.
Okay, what's the difference between vehicular homicide and negligent homicide from a prosecutorial standpoint?
So vehicular homicide is the element is basically impairment. Mm-hmm. Or the accident was caused in part or in whole by the effects of impairment. That's me summarizing the law. The bigger difference is,
does that make it less than?
No, it's up to 30 years.
Interesting.
So 0 to 5 for negligent and then up to 30 years on vehicular. Vehicular is far worse. Mm-hmm. We normally see vehicular drunk driver that kills somebody. Okay. So that all being said, this guy's not, let's just call it what it is. This guy is not going to jail for the rest of his life.
Right.
It's tragic. He probably is not going to be an officer anymore. But ultimately, I think that's what he gets in. He doesn't even, by the way, he doesn't have to even go to a grand jury for that. He can just charge him with negligent homicide.
Okay.
He will likely go to a grand jury, but that's what I'm predicting.
All right, here's where we're going to break. Legally Served every Wednesday with attorney Franz Borghardt, and we're doing that right now. Franz, the discussion heading into break and throughout the break has completely derailed me. By the way, if you're not watching us on Facebook Live, do so, because that was just fantastic, everything that we just talked about. Let's reset. We're going to get to the other guy, the guy who stole the car. We're going to get to him in a minute. But what you brought up during the break was, I think, a bigger question here, because this is where all the gray area comes in.
So there's two different things, right? Number one. Oh, that's Siri. Thank you. So there's two different things here. We want this guy prosecuted, right?
Yes, we do.
Acted grossly. We're not just talking about mere negligence.
Right.
We're not talking about, like, leaving the faucet on and the house flooding. Right. Gross negligence, a gross deviation of standard of care.
Correct.
This is a easy one, right? The more difficult one and problematic one is we're seeing law enforcement officers being prosecuted for negligent homicide in cases of school shootings where they don't go into the fray. They fail to do something that they have a responsibility to do.
Okay, and the difference here is in that scenario, they failed to do something. In this scenario, he did something.
So if he doesn't pursue them in hot pursuit and they crash a car and kill somebody, is that officer going to get prosecuted for negligent homicide for failing to pursue and stop them?
No, because the standards are there. The standards are, he was violating the standards that were given to him.
Okay, so just playing criminal defense attorney here for a second.
I understand.
But right. Is that a line for a normal officer? Is that a line that is easy in the real-time execution of his duties? Mm-hmm. Is that a line that is always discernible and easy to see?
Standards? Like a handbook? Okay. Like it's written out in law?
So in this case...
Is it written out? You are trained on this stuff?
A policy, right?
Yeah.
Standards. In this case, what is the gross deviation? Him failing to use brakes?
That's one.
The high speed? Because a high speed pursuit
running
is a
high light.
Speed... Hold
right.
on. High speed pursuit is a high speed pursuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Running the red light.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to call... I'm sorry. I'm going to call BS on that one.
Running the red light?
Officers in pursuit of a vehicle... Run red lights. The criminal's not going to stop. Guys, by the way, I don't represent this guy. I'm just playing devil's advocate because I want you guys to think about this all the way through. What world do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a world where officers are prosecuted for gross negligence, or they're held civilly accountable, or both? Because they can be held accountable for both. These families are going to sue the sheriff's office.
Okay, so by your rationale, the officers who pulled off of the chase in Baton Rouge should be equally held accountable.
I'm saying that in this world that we're living in, we are going to start seeing people that start seeing men and women who are officers, just like the school shootings. We're going to start seeing those officers get prosecuted around the country for failing to do something.
Okay, we're
that
talking
is
about
the gross,
two huge extremes.
I agree
though.
With you.
These are huge
and
extremes.
At the break, I agree. And at the break, I said these are easy, right? These two examples are easy because they're two ends of the spectrum. You've got the extreme case of a school shooting where an officer should go in to protect the youth.
Right.
We have the extreme of, dude, there's no need in hot pursuit. What was the crime that these people had committed? Was it a car theft?
It was a car theft on this side of the river.
Yeah. We don't live in Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
No matter how much I want to live in the world of Grand Theft Auto, we don't live in that. Baton Rouge is kind of dicey, but two extremes. Those are the easy cases. Mm-hmm. Don't drive that way. You have to go into the fray. The middle ground is what
your
I'm concerned Siri about.
Your Siri is on steroids this morning.
Dude, it's been drinking the 4-hour energy drink. So, the middle, 5-hour, the middle ground is going to be the tough. That's going to be the gray area,
right?
So, like, the officers that stopped, let's say these guys, the Grand Theft Auto guys, they're high speed, evading police, they crash and kill another citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And there are officers that could have stopped them and didn't stop them.
Right. So,
do they get prosecuted for negligent homicide? I got to tell you, I believe that the criminals in this case, and I say criminals as in the people that stole the vehicles, I don't know their names off the top of my head, those guys are more criminally culpable than the officer. They may all share criminal liability.
That's the question we need to get to. So let's just go ahead and get to it right there. They stole a vehicle. They did not run into another vehicle and kill two high school girls.
Correct.
And leave a with Liam Dunn in critical condition.
So in Louisiana, we have a law called the felony murder doctrine. Uh-huh. This is how you get to murder. It's a murder that happens without specific intent to kill, but a murder that happens during the conducting of a crime, a certain type of felony. Stealing the car is not going to fit into that crime, right? There may be another felony that fits into it. Now, could this be a manslaughter? Could this be a manslaughter, a murder without intent based on committing a crime? It could be. Those guys could get charged. We don't think of manslaughter that way, but there is a provision that would allow that. I think these guys get charged with negligent homicide as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Acting as principals, which is going to be difficult and problematic. But, dude, look, the question is this. There's going to be conversations at the legislature about changing laws to prevent this stuff from happening from the law enforcement angle. There should be a conversation about, okay, when you do a crime that doesn't on its face look like it's a serious crime, stealing a car, and then somebody dies as a result of you stealing a car, should we have heightened penalties?
Let's not minimize the crime of stealing a car, though.
I agree with you. Well, as someone who deals with this stuff, I'm telling you, the person who has their car stolen, it stinks.
No, I know, but a car is a huge investment. What you're trying to paint the picture of is the difference between a property crime and a crime that physically hurts a person.
And it depends on how they stole the crime. This car.
This was
on how they stole it.
Well, in this one, this was a property crime that ended up hurting a person.
Right.
It didn't have to be where someone's life was lost.
I'm just telling you that I believe that these guys that stole the vehicle, if you're going to prosecute this cop for negligent homicide or if you're going to prosecute him for anything, I think you absolutely have to prosecute these guys for some part in the deaths of these kids.
I agree with that.
Now, to what degree? I don't know. Stealing a car, by the way, 0 to 10 year felony.
Okay.
Non-crime of violence, negligent homicide, non-crime of violence. Well, why is that relevant? If he goes to jail for 5 years, if he got convicted, and he's presumed innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we're talking about is based on what? The reports from the news.
Right.
And as we've discussed before, the media doesn't always, quote unquote, get it right. So he's presumed innocent. I think it's important that we say that. But if he is convicted and the judge maxes him out 5 years, no criminal record, he would be home in 6 months.
Really?
Yep. It's a non-crime of violence. He does about 25% of the...
Disgusting.
I don't know. That guy has to walk around knowing that he killed two young people for the rest of his life. Do you think that 5 years in jail is going to be more punishment than that? I don't know anything about this guy.
I think 6 months in jail is too little punishment for that.
Well, you need to get down to the legislature and tell them how you feel about calculation of Department of Correction.
We're gonna talk about that in the 8 o'clock hour when State Senator Caleb Kleinpeter is here, to be sure. But right now, this is Legally Serve with Attorney Franz Borchardt. For Legally Serve with Attorney Franz Borchardt, and I'm giving you fair warning right now. School's back in. We're right in the height of morning drive. If your kids are in the car, these next 7.5 minutes might get gross because we got to talk about Dennis Perkins.
Ugh.
I know. Ugh. Former Livingston Parish Sheriff's deputy was sentenced to 100 years in prison for a multitude of sex crimes, several involving children. Sentenced yesterday, years after, he was first arrested in 2019, along with his wife, Cynthia. They pleaded guilty to one count of second-degree rape, two counts of sexual battery of a child, one count of video voyeurism, two counts of production of child porn of children under the age of 13, and one count of the mingling of harmful substances, that'd be the cupcake recipe.
Ugh.
The couple initially faced more than 150 combined charges. The plea agreement means prosecutors and the defendant will forego the trial, guaranteeing that Perkins' young victims will not have to testify about what they went through. All sentences are to be served concurrently, except the sentence for video voyeurism, which will be served consecutively. Perkins is also required to register as a sex offender for life, but if he's got a 100-year sentence, Franz, that registration is going to apply where?
So very important. No possibility of probation. No possibility of parole.
Right.
Okay. So he's going to do 100 flat years.
Wait, just to be sure, the concurrent versus consecutive.
Concurrent means
at the same time.
Concurrent means everything runs together.
Yeah.
Consecutive means we're
one after another after another.
Right.
Right.
So if he's got 100 years, he's going to do flat time.
Right.
Flat time, 100 flat years.
But if it were
minus
consecutive, it would be like 500 years or whatever.
Yeah, we're haggling over.
No, I know. I know.
So why in the world would somebody do a plea to where they're pleading to 100 years? Because he was exposed to life, L-I-F-E, letters. And I have to think, one, I have to think that he is hopeful that maybe one day they may change a law. Maybe one day he could apply for a pardon, which he will unlikely get. And that might be a way of commuting his sentence down. Okay. Now, he has to serve like 20 flat years before that could even happen. In our business, we always say letters are worse than numbers. Because if you get life, L-I-F-E, if you get life, you're doing life in Louisiana. 100 years doesn't necessarily mean 100 years in Louisiana.
But this still does, though, right?
I think it does. I think it does. But if when people ask me, why in the world would you not just roll the dice and it's because, look, they got me against the wall. They're going to convict me. My best shot long term of ever seeing the light of day again is I can say I took responsibility. I can say that I took a deal. I did this huge chunk of change. And then maybe 20, 30 years from now, if I'm still alive, I could apply for a pardon. And what governor is going to sign the Dennis Perkins pardon, I don't know. So he's done. He's done.
Yeah.
He's going to go to jail forever. I think that leaves – did she cut a deal?
She did. I think she got like 40 years, 41 years, something like that.
So kudos to the AG's office, Barry Milligan and the other prosecutors working on this. Kudos to them. Good resolution. And I say good resolution because it spared the victims from having to come and testify.
Yes.
And look, I for those of you who are like, man, this is a soft deal, 100 years is a long time.
So, and that's an important thing here. And I'm thinking of this through the lens of the parents of the kids who were involved. They don't have to relive this now. They could start to work on closing that chapter, work on what it's going to take to mentally get through this.
There's something about the perpetrator taking responsibility. There's something about Dennis Perkins looking at the families and saying, I did this. Now, in his colloquy, he said, I've asked Jesus for forgiveness. Jesus has forgiven me. And look, I don't want to get into a theological discussion, but there is some kind of closure that comes with him standing up and taking responsibility, them getting to make some kind of victim impact statement, which I don't know if they did or didn't. And look, these kids are traumatized.
Absolutely.
Traumatized.
Absolutely. To levels that they don't understand yet, and they won't be able to unpack until they're in adulthood. Right. By the way, you mentioned Barry Milligan. Attorney General Jeff Landry, in his press release about this, was very effusive in his praise of Barry Milligan, Erica McClellan, and Christopher Walters.
Yeah.
So I know, make sure the whole team got their props.
I apologize. I know Barry firsthand. I used to work with Barry as a colleague, and we have cases occasionally get together. But look, this was a very problematic case. Overwhelming evidence, but overwhelming evidence in a lot of different cases can be problematic. A lot of moving parts. So I think I feel comfortable saying this is a fair resolution to all sides. And to Jared Ambo's credit, Ambo has been saying for a long time now, my guy wants to plead guilty.
Yeah.
They're not negotiating. And then the AG's office was like, well, what do we want to plead to life? Want to come in and roll in and plead to life?
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, if you're on the side of the AG's office,
I would imagine
I would imagine
that the victims, I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine the victims' families had a big say in this.
Yeah.
And probably were part of the reason this happened. I would not want to put my son, my children, through a trial. They are, as someone who's tried cases, as someone who's cross-examined victims before, it is unpleasant, and it can be just as, I'm going to say it, not to be Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless.
Yeah, not to be Skip Bayless. Testifying as a victim can be almost, in many ways, as traumatic as the crime itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely. And if I can make a tie between the two cases, these kids can now get on with their lives. Maggie Dunn and Caroline Gill cannot.
Arguably, yeah.
Not arguably, they're dead.
Are they ever going to be? Are these victims ever going to be able to fully get on with their lives, though?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'll say this though. Just the difference in the way we do criminal time. Crimes of violence, sex crimes of violence, are what we call flat time. So
yeah.
He serves 100 years, 365 times 100, he does each of those days. Negligent homicide is a non-crime of violence. As a first offender, he would do 20. It's classified as a non-crime of violence. It could Could it be a crime of violence? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you legally.
That's pretty violent.
So, yeah, but
we got 30 seconds to go.
Yeah. I'm just telling you legally it's not a crime of violence. 25% of 5 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. And it's, I know I'm saying this with 10 seconds to go, but these kids can get on with their lives.
Right.
In the crime where you're talking about 5 years or out in 6 months, they can't. He's Attorney Franz Borchardt. We do Legally Served every week. Appreciate you, brother.